often we live on autopilot. We live compulsively, whether it's our phones, whether it's food, no matter what it is. So I think meditation, it helps manage stress, it helps improve mindfulness, again, downregulate your nervous system. I can't say enough good things about it. It's probably been the most impactful habit I've implemented into my life, even above working out.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today we're talking about strength, real strength, not shrinking yourself, not chasing a number on the scale, and definitely not punishing workouts that you hate. It's January, which means the gyms are packed, the New Year's resolutions are loud, and a lot of us are wondering, what should I actually be doing for my body right now? To help us cut through the noise, we're joined by fitness and lifestyle coach David Caxero, who specializes in helping people get stronger, move better, and feel more capable in real life. David is also my pull-up coach. I started in earnest working out with him on August 26th and committed to 3 days a week. So far, I've only missed 4 workouts. What's different this time around? My goals and my focus, both inside and outside the gym, are very different. And I've never felt better or more excited to keep going. This is Perimenopause. David, hi, welcome. Michelle, this is the person keeping me in line and teaching me how to do a pull-up.
Oh my gosh. David, it's so great to meet you. I've heard so, so many good things about you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on the podcast. Yeah, it's a pleasure to work with Mikkel as well. She's definitely killing it.
Well, is she, you'll have to like, dish the dirt after.
Oh, well, that speaks for itself. Look at that.
Look at those muscles, Mikkel. Oh my God.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm the shit. No, I'm really not, but David's been kicking my ass in a good way.
And she looks good though. I saw her in October. Was that the menopause?
Yeah, show? I guess it was October. Yeah, it was October.
Yeah. And like, I'd seen her in the summer and transformation, like she didn't look badly before, but you could tell that she's been working out and she's got definition and tone and she's looking good.
Yeah, and for everybody listening, and the scale is not moving, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the body's changing.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, that's a huge thing.
Yes.
A lot of people are worried about weight loss, but if you're gaining muscle tissue and that scale is not changing, that's not a big deal. Focus on what are your energy levels, you know, how are your clothes fitting, all that kind of stuff.
The off-scale victories, is that what Gina calls them?
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it, for sure.
Well, and let's maybe talk a little bit about that, because it's January, right? And 'tis the season to be rushing to the gym and all the other and changing your life. What are your thoughts, David, on New Year's
resolutions? For 20 days.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on New Year's resolutions without our obvious bias impacting your answer?
I don't mind New Year's resolutions. I think it's a good time to reflect, set goals. And it's one of the few times people do that, right? So I think goal setting is important to take time to reflect on, you know, where was I last year? Where do I want to be a year from now? That's what I like about New Year's, or birthdays are a good thing for that. I use birthdays for that. Just a good time to kind of reset and reflect on where have I been in the last year? Where do I want to go moving forward? And then it can kind of motivate you a little bit. So, I mean, you're right. A lot of times we set New Year's resolutions and then we fall off the wagon 3 weeks later. That's a whole other issue. That's more of a consistency thing. New Year's resolutions, setting goals, that's essentially what it is. I don't think it's a bad thing. I actually think it's a good thing. Because again, it gives you some direction. It gives you a vision to move forward with.
I think there's a caveat then. I think it's New Year's resolutions, but you just touched on something, but being thoughtful about it and reflective, not just, oh, it's January, I need to lose 20 pounds, so I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow, right? Like you mentioned birthdays, right? You said, where have I been? Where do I want to go? That's a completely, I think that just reframes it completely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 I had a birthday recently and
I missed. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much.
Are all your clients assholes or just me?
No, I don't advertise it too much, but
okay, fair enough.
You know, one of the questions I ask myself, because I am big on setting goals, but I'm big on, like, again, where have I been? Where do I want to go? And one of the questions I asked myself was, if this was my last year to live, how would I want to live this year? Because we're not guaranteed another 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you know? So, and it, the thing that I like about that question is it brings you back into, what are your values? What's most important to you? You know, and that is a good trajectory to keep a person consistent, you know, because chances are if it was your last year to live, you'd want to be healthy, you'd want to be physically capable, you wouldn't want to be limited by, you know, a lack of strength or mobility or whatever it is, right? So it kind of connects you to your value system and what's important to you, which, so it's, yeah, it's a good question to ask yourself with a New Year's resolutions, you know?
I love that. That is really good. Now we keep talking about consistency. Mikkel is on like day 93 or something.
Today is day 93.
Day 93. And she's been working out like 3 days a week for about 2.5 months.
Yep.
And, you know, not to take away from Mikkel's self-discipline, but like,
But I know her well, and
we've once been accused of not having any. So, like, what is the key? What is the key to that consistency?
I like to break it down into three different kind of avenues. So, the biggest thing is enjoying the process or immersing yourself in the process. So, being able to enjoy it, find something that you like about it. And that's going to keep you with it. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're probably not going to do it anymore, right? And I think that's where a lot of times we get attached to an outcome and we're not going to be happy or fulfilled until we reach that outcome. So whether that's a weight loss or you're trying to lift a certain amount of weight or whatever it is, until you reach that, I don't look good in my bathing suit, but when I do, then I'll be happy. That entire period of time from now until then is going to be a drag. And the thing is once you achieve that goal, you're not going to want to stick with it anymore because now you got what you wanted out of the process. And now that's where you get these yo-yo results where you lose the weight, but then you put it back on. It's because you're not immersed in the process. One way I like to think about immersing myself in the process is through behavior goals. So a lot of times we set outcome-based goals. Okay, I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to lift this much weight, whatever it is. Instead of setting an outcome goal, setting a behavior-based goal. So for the next 3 months, I'm going to go to the gym twice a week. That's a behavior-based goal. That's going to immerse you in the process of what you're doing. And when you immerse yourself in the process, there's no saying how far you can actually go with that, right? If you're consistently going to the gym 2 to 3 days a week, you're going to get further than what you would if you say, okay, I want to lose 10 pounds. You might lose 30 pounds if you go to the gym 3 days a week for a few months, you know? So
yeah.
Immersing yourself in the process is kind of the first one. The second one is building momentum through small, consistent actions. The more you invest in your own fitness journey, the less you're going to want to do to mess that up or to take away from that. So if you like, you know, it could be something as simple as I want to watch TV after dinner, but I'm going to go for a 10-minute walk. You just invested in your own fitness journey and in yourself. And that's going to bleed into the next decision. Okay, well, let's say you went to the gym and you did a tough workout, you went to a workout class, are you going to go and eat fast food after that? Probably not, because a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to ruin my workout now, right? That's the perfect example of building that momentum. So it's really just stacking those small wins. And the last one is what I said earlier, kind of about attaching your goals to your value system. So can you think about why you want what you're going for and relate it to what is really important to you? Because if you can't relate it to your values, it's not going to be that important to you. Like, I want to look good for my Mexico trip for a bunch of people that I'm never going to see again. Is that really that valuable to you? Or is it, I want to be healthy for my kids in 15 years from now, you know, that is a lot more important to us, you know? So those three things about, you know, immersing yourself in the process, attaching it to your values and building momentum, those are going to be the primary drivers for what I've noticed for staying consistent.
And I would say to echo that, David, we kind of talked about this a little bit last week, but this is the most consistent I've ever been. I mean, I've always worked out. I've always been relatively healthy, but I've had a lot of stops and starts. And if I'm being honest, most of my goals were vanity goals, like how I looked in a bathing suit or, you know, whatever the goal that fits kind of that description. But this is about being able to do a pull-up because that's about, well, kind of competing with Dr. Premji. Love you, Shafina. You know, but it's not that. It's about, I know that this is good for my health, right? And so I think it was what we were talking about last week is I was opening a jar of pasta sauce and I popped it off, no problem.
Oh, right? It's amazing how these muscles go. I've been noticing I can't.
Right. So yeah, that I can do that, that when I'm lifting heavy bags of groceries, my right shoulder isn't hurting anymore. Mm. Right. My blood pressure is back down to what it was prior to me starting to work out like that. Those are goals where it's like, oh yeah, I really need to keep doing this, because really how I look in a bathing suit, no one gives a shit. And I don't really give a shit. It's just that we think that we're supposed to, and that everybody mm-hmm. does, right? And it doesn't really matter. So that's great advice. And I can testify that it works.
Yeah, and you've been making great gains in the gym. And I'm sure if you were purely focused on, okay, how do I look in this bathing suit? We wouldn't be doing the same things, or you wouldn't be putting that same effort into, say, lifting weights or pushing yourself, right?
I wouldn't have shown up today with, I have a bit of an SI injury. It's a recurring thing. It's kind of flared up. I wouldn't have shown up today mm-hmm. if that were the goal. Yeah, for sure. On that note, what are the biggest mistakes you see people making in the gym, or maybe even outside of the gym, in the context of their, you know, health journey?
It kind of depends on what their goals are. Like, are they trying to get stronger? Do they want to lose weight? Is it for longevity? You know, so having more context with that would definitely help me to give a more specific answer. But from my perspective, what I specialize in is helping people become more physically capable for life, you know, stronger, more mobile, all of those things, pain-free. And so what I've noticed is not having structure in the gym, kind of winging it. I think when you go to the gym and you kind of do, oh, I saw what this Instagram person did, you know, okay, sweet, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what this person did. You know, having a structured program is really going to help you make progress. And so that's one aspect. The other aspect that I'd see is to go along with that is a lot of people train isolated movements or isolated muscles instead of movements. And if you think about it in everyday life, the tasks that we take on every day, whether it's sports or you're carrying your grocery bag or whatever, you're not isolating muscle, one muscle at a time. You're using a group of different muscles to complete a task. And so I like to look at the gym as you're training for life, or you're training for sport if you're an athlete. But if you're training for life, we should be training movements instead of just isolated muscles. And now training isolated muscles isn't a bad thing. There's definitely going to be times you're going to want to do that if you're rehabbing the injury, or if you're just working on some stability work. But prioritizing or structuring your entire workout around machines or just like bicep curls, that's not going to give you the best bang for your buck out of your workouts. So I think not having structure, not training movements, doing training muscles instead, and then not pushing yourself hard enough. I think a lot of people, they go to the gym just for the sake of going to the gym, and they think, okay, well, I did my rep, so I'm good. If you really want to get the most out of your workout, do quality reps where you're really pushing yourself, you know, and still maintaining good technique and all that kind of stuff. You're not pushing yourself into pain or anything like that. Those would be the top three mistakes I would say see people making in the gym. Outside of the gym is a whole nother story. And I usually say the gym is just where the seed is planted. You know, if you want that seed to grow, it's what you're doing outside the gym that's really going to determine if that seed's growing. And the biggest mistake I would say from a weight loss perspective, let's say, or fat loss perspective outside the gym would be probably emotional eating.
I was just talking about, I'm needing dopamine hits like left, right, and center. And I'm trying to like get myself out of I just want food so I can get a dopamine hit.
Yeah. And you know what, like I talk about this, and the reason that I'm aware of this, cause I'm human too. I'm the same way. And you just become aware of these patterns within yourself. But emotional eating is a big one. You know, a lot of times we eat when we're not hungry, we're bored, or we're stressed out after a day of work, or, you know, just because, again, decisions compound. Well, I'm going to watch Netflix, so, well, I might as well have takeout with that, you know, like, so contextually, these choices kind of compound on one another. So outside the gym, emotional eating is a big one, and probably lack of sleep. Those are the two big mistakes outside the gym.
Well, and then if you have lack of sleep, you have less impulse control. And so you're more likely to have.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%.
And then you can push yourself.
Totally.
And you might get injured. Yep. And
yeah. Sleep is like, the penultimate.
Exactly. No, 100%. I call that what that phenomenon you just described is something I call the pebble that causes a landslide. And it's basically, if you think about a landslide, it's like, there's always that one little pebble that falls down, it knocks down a little bigger rock and slightly, and then now you have a landslide. It's discovering what that pebble is within your own life. Is it being tired? You know, is it the association of I'm going to watch Netflix now. Now I'm going to order the takeout. Now I'm going to stay up later because I'm watching this TV show. Whatever that is in your own life, if you can be aware of that and start, I don't want to say eliminate because I'm not big on restriction, but just be aware of it. You'll realize how all of these things start to compound in your own life.
Well, and then you can make the decision, well, you know, I do want to watch Netflix and binge on Netflix for a few hours, so I'm going to maybe have a tea instead, or like, you know, find another substitute treat, or maybe go for a walk before.
Totally.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of creating that balance. I think that's a great, great way of handling it.
So I was looking at your Instagram. And I've been watching Mikkel's Instagram posts of her workouts, and you guys have very different workouts. And David, you look better with your shirt off. But
actually, it's very true. Yeah. We'll
post a link to his Instagram in the show notes.
Exactly.
All kidding aside, it's kind of reminded me though, like similar to perimenopause and managing symptoms. There's not a one size fits all. When it comes to training, I'm figuring that as well. So are there some non-negotiables when it comes to working out that apply to everyone?
Yeah. And again, I think it depends on what your ultimate goal is, you know? So from my perspective, training for life to be physically fit and physically capable for anything that life throws at you and to be healthier, a healthier, more physically capable version of yourself, lifting weights, definitely lifting weights. And like I said earlier, training muscles instead of, or training movements instead of muscles, training movements instead of muscles. So there's a number of, when you say movements, people are probably like, hey, well, what do you mean by that? What, like compound movements, you're going to be squatting. That's one of the key movements that you want to be doing. Lunging is another one, pushing. So that could be a chest press. That could be an overhead press. Pulling, that could be a pull up or a lat pull down or a row. And then loaded carries. So carrying two heavy weights, one heavy weight, whatever that is, those movement patterns are going to be the way that you want to structure your program around in order to be a stronger and more capable version of yourself. And I'm going to say you want to lift weights at least twice a week. I'm going to say 2 to 3 times a week is what you want. Again, to go along with that, doing cardio, you want to be doing cardio, I'd say at least twice a week as well. Just for your heart health. And then mobility. Mobility is one of the most underrated aspects of fitness. We want to lift weights. We want to do cardio. We want to get our sweat on, but not many of us are doing mobility. You want to be doing mobility, stretching, foam rolling 2 to 3 times a week. So lifting weights, training those movements, squats, lunges, pushing, pulling, and carrying, and then cardio and mobility. If you can do those, each of those things twice a week, you're golden. Within those guidelines, there's going to be more specific things that are going to relate to individuals' needs, goals, wants. But from a broad standpoint, that's what I would recommend.
I have to say that I'm doing this workout program, like an online one right now, and the days where it's just 20 minutes of yoga stretching make me insane. Like I can't, it's harder than like.
Because you feel like you're not doing anything?
I know. And I'm like, this is good for me. Stop.
It is.
But I loathe those days.
Go back to David's Instagram because you didn't, I think you just posted the other day, David, I saw you, it was a video of you and you're doing like essentially like you're stretching, but it looks like you're doing yoga.
Absolutely. Like, I think if you want to get stronger, being mobile, and you want to have longevity and functionality into your later years, and just for joint health, mobility is going to be the way to do it. I always say mobility is like doing maintenance on your car. You're not going to drive your car for 500,000 kilometers 100,000 kilometers, whatever it is, and not get oil changes, not do brakes maintenance or anything like that. It's the same thing with us. To, you know, want to lift weights and work out hard or ski or do whatever the fun stuff is, but not do the maintenance is recipe for wear and tear on your joints and breakdown.
Hip replacement at 45.
Yeah. Hip replacement at 42. And to spread the joy here and just share a bit about David's approach. So I've also had a wonky shoulder for a lot of years, and you know, the closer I am to getting to doing an unassisted pull up, and you know, I can now do three sets of 10 full push-ups.
Shut up. Yeah. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which is like a huge, however, over the, and that's the other thing I think maybe people need to keep in mind. That wasn't without, like, there'd be days where like, okay, my shoulder really hurts. But one of the days David was like, okay, where and what's going on? And so we went over and you showed me the stretch with the peanut, the two balls that are attached. And I put that kind of in my mid back and raised my arms. That has been life changing.
Oh, good. I'm glad that's really helped you.
But the point is, it's not, okay, well, let's stop or let's do a different exercise. I mean, that's sometimes what we need to do. But it was like, okay, let's work on your mobility in the middle of this workout that's about teaching you how to do a pull-up and get this sorted, right? So it is, it's really important, and it really does help, especially for us old chicks that have all kinds of
lots of mobility issues.
Broken.
No, seriously, yeah. I was at my in-laws and I got up from the couch. I slept in a different bed. I got up from their couch and I was like walking like I was 100. Like I could fit, like it took me like 20 paces before I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's anyway, not good, Michelle.
No, it's not good.
I hear you though, Michelle. It's the stretching and stuff. It can be quite boring and monotonous. And I usually treat it as like a meditation almost, like, hey, I'm going to do this. And I find it's very good at it's recovery. Essentially, you're down regulating your nervous system. You're not stimulating yourself. Like when I stretch, I try to just be present with stretching, which has a number of benefits for our overstimulated minds as well. Right. So I hear you though, like stretching can be quite boring and monotonous for sure.
No, but you just put it in words that like resonated with me, like down,
regulate your nervous system.
Regulating.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, oh my God. Yes, of course. I'm doing it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. It's funny how you hear the same things over and over again. And then someone says it slightly differently and you're like, oh yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And the funny thing about that is it's usually the people that are closest to us that tell us these things over and over and over again. And we just don't listen to them. And then some random person on a podcast says it and you're like, oh, that's groundbreaking. I'm going to go do that now. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Story of my life in my house. I'll be like, hey, you guys should. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then some random person will tell them. Yeah. Or David also trains with Scarlett and Wyatt and he'll say whatever. And that of course is, you know,
gospel. Yeah.
Gospel. But what I have to say is ridiculous. Right. So for listeners looking to get a trainer who are totally inspired by this conversation and want to have some help and you know, I highly recommend it, even if it's just to get you started or to get the right routine set up. And the right techniques, right? And so that you're not going to do something stupid and hurt yourself. Do you have like... when someone's looking for a trainer, are there some must-haves? Are there things to watch out for? What are your recommendations?
I mean, my biggest recommendation in this space is, and this kind of is, I guess, is fairly universal, but someone that lives in practice with what they are teaching. You know, you can learn a lot from theory, and I learned a lot going through my degree and certifications and everything like that. But the understanding that you gain through living in practice with, okay, what does this exercise feel like? What does a dumbbell chest press feel like compared to a barbell chest press? Or what is it like to live a balanced lifestyle? What is it like to have this morning routine? Whatever that looks like, it gives you a different insight that can actually help your clients a lot more. a lot of times if someone hasn't really lived in practice with what they're doing, and that doesn't have to be like right now, like people go through phases of life, you know, there's some phases where I'm really inspired, motivated in the gym. There's other times when I'm not. Or, you know, when I was training on the bobsleigh team, that was a completely different style of training than what I'm doing now. So someone that has walked the walk at some point so that they actually have that, they're going to be able to offer you a deeper level of understanding that someone with just pure theory won't be able to offer you. You know, you can read about shooting a basketball all day, but until you actually go and shoot that basketball, you're not really going to fully understand what that's like. So I think that's a big one, is someone that has or is walking the walk and living in practice with that. The other one is watch out for trainers or anyone really that claims to have an answer for everything. What I found is the people that are real experts in their field, if you ask them, hey, whatever the question is, what's the best thing for strength training? They'll usually say whatever question you ask them is, it depends, right? Because it does depend. It depends on you as an individual. What are your goals? Do you have injuries? Like that person will be able to sit down and have a lot of nuance and a lot of, okay, there's a lot of different directions we can take this, right? So someone that says, okay, oh, you have a back pain. Okay, well, that's definitely because of this, this, and this, and give you the three reasons why you have back pain the way that's, I don't believe in that. And I think that that's a very rigid way of coaching. And I think coaching people and working with people has to be flexible and nuanced. There are guidelines for sure, and you stay within those guidelines to some extent, but there's a lot of gray area as well. So those are the kind of the two things that I'd recommend. Someone that walks the walk and someone that, and be aware of people that can claim to know everything.
I like that.
It's a lot like perimenopause practitioners that we think are worth their salt and that we've had on the show. Nuance is so important. You need to respect and understand the guidelines, but nuance is so important. And you do have to, I think, have lived it to really understand it.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I learned a lot going through my education. I learned so much more actually living in practice with it. It's like the map is not the territory, you know? So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. What about listeners who want to start working out maybe for the first time, or they've been, you know, our generation, we were all cardio queens, right? We didn't lift weights. What advice do you have? You know, they want to start somewhere and they can't afford a trainer. What do you recommend? Do you have any words of wisdom for them?
Yeah. So going back to those five movement patterns that I was talking about, squatting, lunging, pushing, pulling, carrying, do that twice a week. And what I'm going to say for each exercise that you're doing, 2 to 3 sets of 6 to 12 reps. Start off with higher reps. I'm going to say 10 to 12 reps if you've never really worked out before. It's going to help you get used to the movement, not really overdo it in terms of weight. It's a moderate, you can still go moderately heavy, so you can still build some muscle and a little bit of strength, but it'll get you used to that movement as well. And 2 to 3 sets is enough volume for you to, you know, feel the muscle soreness the next day, if that's really what you're going for, right? But 2 days a week, I'm going to say strength train and prioritize those movement patterns. That's what I would recommend for someone that wants to get into strength training.
So something I really appreciate, David, is your flexibility in the context of my workout. So I've been traveling a lot, or I've had, you know, to be emergency called away, different province, what have you. And you're like, yeah, no problem. Here's the basement workout, right? You've got a band and a whatever, here it is. And you sent like some videos. Maybe we could get like even just a video of each of those five movements and we can include it in the show notes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How do I do it?
That's another thing, is like, how do I do a squat properly? And who online is doing this right, kind of thing. Yeah. So if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
With your shirt off, of course. No,
I just like to apologize on behalf of Michelle and all of my dirtbag friends. Yeah.
I try. David, what would you say are some of the most underrated fitness habits?
Well, you know, I find that in our busy lives, we're so focused on doing more. And like I was kind of saying earlier, we're constantly overstimulated. Our nervous systems are on overdrive. We're in that constant sympathetic response, that fight or flight response. And it's always go, go, go. If I'm not working harder, it's not as good. No pain, no gain. So the most underrated fitness habits are going to be things that take you in the opposite direction. So mobility, stretching, foam rolling, like I said, really good for not only maintenance on your joints and tissues, but down regulating your nervous system. Walking, super underrated, especially I find after a meal. Walking's great for digestion, great for your blood sugars. Rest between sets, super underrated. People don't understand that if you want to get stronger, you need to rest between sets. If you're pushing yourself, if you're really pushing yourself into that, past that threshold where you're going to be causing damage to your muscles in a good way, and you're going to need to recover from that. So resting, 60 to 90 seconds between sets, if you're going heavy, is going to be recommended. And the last one, it's not quite a physical fitness habit, but I think it's one of the most underrated things, and that's meditation. I think of that as like a fitness for your mind, for your awareness, so to speak. Being able to separate yourself from your thoughts. It's not about completely quieting the mind. It's about being able to observe your thoughts and emotions, sensations from awareness, so that you're not identifying with them. And that way you have conscious choice. Oh, I can feel that I'm bored and I'm craving this cookie. Through meditation, you become mindful of that sensation, that drive to do that. But now you're in the driver's seat. You can consciously choose if that's something you want to do or not. Because so often we live on autopilot. We live compulsively, whether it's our phones, whether it's food, no matter what it is. So I think meditation, it helps manage stress. It helps improve mindfulness. Again, downregulate your nervous system. I can't say enough good things about it. It's probably been the most impactful habit I've implemented into my life, even above working out. So I'd say mobility, meditation, walking, and rest between sets.
I love it.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure most people, if they've seen your Instagram account or watched you work out, they'd be really surprised to hear you say that. I'm really annoyed to hear you say that because I really do not like meditating, but I do need to be more consistent with that. Right. Mm-hmm. Because it is really the key to making choices and not living that are good for you and not living on autopilot.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
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 Yeah. David, what's the one thing you want every woman to know about working out?
What I would want every woman to know is lift weights, train movements, free weights over machines for sure, but you want to train those movement patterns that I talked about. And know that you're stronger than you think you are. Mm-hmm. Every single client that I've worked with is so much stronger than what they realize. It doesn't mean you need to push yourself into that complete max limit of what you're capable of every single day. But know that when you grab those 5-pound dumbbells and they feel like they're kind of heavy because you've never really lifted them before, know that your body is so much stronger than that. So that's what I would want every woman to know. Don't be scared of lifting weights. Don't be scared of getting bulky or anything like that. It's a lot of work to get bulky. It's probably not going to happen. I've been trying and I'm still not quite there. So lift weights, train movements, know that you're stronger than what you think you are.
Great answer. Thank you. Thank you.
Good answer.
That was so wonderful to meet you. I've been hearing so much about you. It was wonderful to meet you. And Mikkel didn't lie. You were amazing. So thank you for all the insights.
Oh, no, thank you very much. It was a real pleasure to be on the podcast. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
You'll have to come back again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we'll do one in the gym.
Yeah, for sure.
When you're kicking my butt. Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and write a review,
so more women can find us and get a better understanding of what to expect in perimenopause.
This information is not intended as medical advice. The intent of this information is to provide the listener with knowledge to support more efficient and effective communication with their medical provider.